This is season 2, episode 24. Cemeteries, it's all about living.
Welcome to Let's Talk Parks. This is a collaborative project that gives a voice to emerging leaders in parks and recreation.
We believe every professional has the potential to make a difference in their organization and in their communities.
These are the stories of the future leaders who are navigating their career and finding their purpose through Parks and Rec.
Hey, Let's Talk Parks. It's Marissa Moravic. I had a really cool opportunity to interview Carl Nesbitt from Recreation Ateoa a couple months ago. I think it was back in August. And I really like this topic and I find it fascinating. When we received Carl's submission, I immediately jumped on it and said that I wanted to do this interview. So to give a little background, about a year ago when I started at the Mundelein Park District, it was around Halloween, and one of my coworkers is from Mexico, and she was explaining Dia de los Muertos to me, and I just became fascinated with how other cultures celebrate and incorporate the deceased, and how they still make them part of their holidays and their traditions. So I was really interested to hear from Carl about what they do out in New Zealand. So really good episode. I highly suggest listening. I won't give you much more information than that. I think you'll really get a lot of good information about what we could be doing here in America to better incorporate cemeteries into our recreation programming. So go ahead and take a listen. Carl has been in the parks and open spaces industry for over 20 years in various roles, starting as horticulturist, moving into operations management. In his role as Parks and Open Spaces Project Manager for Recreation Ateoa, Carl works with a diverse industry to provide safe and fun open spaces for you to recreate in. This includes parks, green spaces, play space, and cemeteries. Through his role as Executive Officer of the Alliance Committee in World Urban Parks, they have developed webinars for park managers understanding the impacts of COVID-19 internationally. Through the Alliance Committee, he has, with other members of World Urban Parks, created a new committee that highlights the value of cemeteries, a place for contemplation, grief, recreation, and ecological enhancement.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Let's Talk Parks. Today, I'm joined by Carl Nesbitt of Recreation Aotearoa. I think I said that right. I was very interested in interviewing Carl because of his mission was about cemeteries and their relation to our parks and recreation system. I had never thought about cemeteries and how they can and should be a bigger part of our parks and recreation system. I've taken seniors on tours of famous cemeteries like Graceland Cemetery in Chicago, but hadn't viewed it as a place for people to recreate until now. I was talking with a coworker around Halloween. She is from Mexico and was explaining the Day of the Dead to me, which is Dia de los Muertos, and the concept of celebrating with the dead each year. I think as Americans, we tend to see cemeteries as a somber place of rest for the deceased. I think it's beautiful to want to celebrate those that have left us and spend time enjoying cemeteries instead of fearing them. So Carl is here today to bring us a different perspective from New Zealand, Aotearoa. I think I said that right. Before we dive into this topic, I'd like Carl to go ahead and introduce himself.
No mai, haere mai. Kei mana whenua, e mihi ana, e na hau e wha. Tēnā koe. Ko Ōraki tōko manga, ko Wamakariri tōko awa, ko Arihi tōko iwi, nō o tatahi au. Kei Recreation Aotearoa i mahi ana. Hina pōri, miti kai whakahaere, o te hōtaka mokoe au. Ko Carl Nesbitt tōko ingoa. Whatū ngā rongoro, te tangata, toi te te whenua. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Hey, it's great to meet you this morning, Marissa, and have a chat to you about cemeteries. And just what I did there was a Māori welcome, an introduction to how we introduce ourselves generally when we're having a meeting or a speech or talking to somebody. And it's just a way to explain to you where we've come from and who we are. And it's a good way to sort of welcome those that are listening to this recording and also respecting you as well for taking that recording. So it's really much around respect and acknowledging everything that comes on. And I'll just sort of give you a bit of explanation around the welcome. So the first part is the nau mai, haere mai, is what we call a whakatau speech. And the mana whenua is sort of customary welcoming authority to the speakers and the listeners. So that's what's really important, because, you know, we've got to value those that are here. The mihi ana is acknowledgement to you personally. And that's sort of, you know, sort of like thanking you for having me here. And the nā hou e whā, and that's the four winds. And what that sort of is sort of relaying is bringing four people coming together, and, you know, from all parts of the world, or from, you know, wherever you are in the country. And it's just a welcome of respect. And what I sort of do there is the pepeha is an explanation of me. And within Māori customary, and don't be fooled, I'm a white European Kiwi. I'm not Māori in any way, but I'll talk about that in a few minutes. What that sort of is telling you my connection to my maunga, which is my mountain and my awa, my river. And that's really interesting, because in Māori, they associate with places or mountains. And that's actually how you find connections with people. And sort of give you an example is that we do this when we're introducing ourselves in groups. And you actually find somebody who's like, oh, so you're from Ototahi. So you're from Christchurch. Oh, I've got family in Christchurch. Oh, you relate to Waimakariri. Did you used to live by there? It's like, yeah. So then you start getting this connection. And so you start creating this relationship of people that you just didn't even know. So that's really one of the key parts about it. And then what we do is we sometimes we'll put a karakia, which is a prayer, or a whakatauki. The whakatauki that I spoke of is really important to me and to Parks and Open Spaces. And that's the whatu ngā rongaro component. And that talks about that man disappears from sight and the land remains. So what we do on the land now affects the land in the future. So we have to understand those historical values of how we respect Mother Earth. And that's where that whakatauki to me is actually very important. And just a little bit about Māori and Te Reo. It's part of our culture in New Zealand, Aotearoa, to speak in Te Reo as a welcome. A lot of our town names, our street names, our mountains, our rivers are in Te Reo. And it's just a way to acknowledge our cultural identity of our cultural Indigenous people. And it's one of the things that we strive as a country to be stronger, and we respect the people that were here before us.
That's really cool, especially as it pertains to recreation. I mean, respecting Mother Earth and taking a look at where we were a little while ago and where we are now. So I think New Zealand's totally got it right for Parks and Rec. And then the reason I had Carl go into this is just when we started emailing back and forth, he had all of these introductions, and I thought it was just a great way for us as Americans to start maybe adopting some of this. Like Carl said in his introduction, you kind of mentioned what mountain you're from, and it helps you to make a connection with someone right off the bat. Like, yes, I've got family in Arizona, and so do you, or maybe you're from Arizona. So I think we would do such a better job of forming relationships with each other if we knew a little bit more about each other when we introduce ourselves. So I thought it was really cool the way that those in New Zealand introduce themselves. And it's a little lesson that we here in America can take note of and do something about. So thank you for giving us that introduction, Carl. I absolutely love it. And it kind of helps us dive into our topic of cemeteries. So as I mentioned a few minutes ago, other countries and cultures view cemeteries as more of just a place of rest. Can you explain to us how a cemetery is a place for history, ecology, and human well-being?
Yeah, I suppose in Aotearoa, we've got many types of cemeteries. You know, we've got our typical Victorian colonial cemeteries. We've got those historical cemeteries that come from the past. We have private cemeteries, and we have our urupā, which is our Indigenous cemeteries. And so that's talking about, you know, the history. So where people are buried, you know, we've got those stories, and we call that korero, which is telling the story. So you can actually understand by going to a cemetery and seeing the history. But what's also really interesting around our cemeteries is that when people are buried and over time trees or plants are planted. So, and if we look at back at to us in the early 1840s, maybe late 1860s, people have passed away, plants have been planted, and a lot of those plants may have come from Europe. So we have a lot of historical exotic plantings within our cemeteries of trees that have come from the other side of the world that have been carried over on a ship. That's what's really important. Okay, so with an Aotearoa, we've got many types of cemeteries, and you know, we're based in Victorian cemeteries early on, so there's a lot of colonial history there. We have our urupa, we have our private cemeteries as well. What's really interesting about the cemeteries that are historical, and you go into those 1840s and the 1890s, that a lot of people were buried that were quite significant. And so we're able to get that story, and we're, you know, through time, other people have been buried. So there's a lot more kōrero, which is what we call story, and we're able to see the journey of their life and their impact on the community. But the other part that's quite interesting is we have cemeteries that, and if you look at the 1890s, that when the people were buried, plants were planted, but a lot of those plants came from Europe. You know, they were transferred over in boats. So now we have a lot of exotic tree species that can be genealogically connected back to Europe because they're historically significant. So we value those as well. But as times happen now, what we're seeing within our cemeteries in this coming country, they've become more ecological focused. So more around flora and fauna, more around bird life and insect life. And we have sites, one of the ones which is quite significant, which is Waikemeti in Auckland, and it's a very large cemetery, probably one of the largest ones in the Southern Hemisphere. And they have a very large ecological zone. You know, there's lizards there that are very indigenous to the site. There's bird life there that's indigenous to that community that's there, insect life, and even tree life that's specific and historical to that site. So we sort of start valuing those, and that's become more of a value than the cemetery itself, which is quite an interesting aspect. And it has a flow-on effect. And we've even seen that within a cemetery in New Plymouth, which is it's a local community cemetery out of the New Plymouth City Centre. The local community have got together. They've now turned it into a micro botanical gardens. And it's an amazing place. These flowers and plants from all around the country or even around the world. And it's just such a place to see. And we do see that in even some of the designs through Central Australia. You know, there are some areas there where, you know, the cemeteries have been there for a long time, a lot longer than what they have been in New Zealand. So there's the historical significance, but once again, there's the trees, the plants, there's bird life and insect life that they now have to consider as part of the cemetery. And I think, you know, we've got hundreds of years, and in America, you've probably even got hundreds and hundreds of years of the similar things. And it's understanding how those historical impacts and the storytelling that can now go on around the cemetery. And it's not just the storytelling, I think, of the dead. It's the storytelling of the native plants or the exotic plants or the bird species that are there.
That was all really interesting. I really like how you said that a lot of these cemeteries, or some of them, have become micro botanical gardens, which I think there's a really big opportunity there for us to combine the two. You know, like here in the Chicago area, we have the Chicago Botanical Gardens, and we have some amazing cemeteries. You know, not that we shouldn't dedicate more space to open space, but it would be awesome to see some of these cemeteries become more like botanical gardens. And I'm sure there's cemeteries I haven't seen that are like that, but I think it's a really good concept. And then you talked about like hundreds of years of history. I think just the quick research that I've done when you and I started talking was that we have about the same amount of history for our cemeteries that you do. A lot of our history dates back to about the early 1800s. So I wonder if at some point us or our listeners dove a little deeper into cemeteries and maybe why it wasn't until about the early 1800s that people started documenting the deceased and where they were laid to rest. So I think that's really interesting too. So not necessarily a parks and rec topic, but just a history question. Maybe you know something about it, but I think it's interesting.
Yeah, so I just, you know, we were talking about the botanical garden concept and plants, and that is a change that's happening in Australia because, you know, space is at a premium within the, you know, an urbanisation, and it's really important that what space that we have we use to its best ability. And I think with the cemeteries that we have, and we're talking about, you know, that micro botanical opportunity, I mean, there's arboretums in there, you know, that we're probably not even aware of. But we always have presumed that cemeteries are a place of death instead of a place of celebration and a place of recreation. And I'm sure we'll talk about this later on, but I'll just sort of bring it up is that one thing that cemeteries, you know, are great for is that we do go there to contemplate the death or, you know, celebrate the death. And the best thing about it is that it's when it's an environment when you can hear bird life and you can see trees and flowers, you have this feeling that's better within you. You know, you have a well-being that's a lot more positive. So I think that's the real key around the cemetery designs really in the early 19th century. You know, that was one of their real keys. And it's I think it's important that we sort of value that now, that we do bring back the importance of recreating in the cemetery. And, you know, a tour is still recreating. You know, we're getting history. Going for a walk is recreating. And, you know, looking at plants, it's still a form of recreation. You know, looking at trees, caring for trees is still a form of recreation. It's still time in nature. And I think that's one of the key things that we sort of forget a cemetery can be.
So how do you see cemeteries as a place for recreation?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's we've got some really good examples of that in Aotearoa, and even in Australia, we've got a lot of central city cemeteries. And look, I know we've been going through COVID-19, and I'll just talk as an example. You know, through our lockdown, our cemeteries were completely locked off. They became in New Zealand, we were able to still under lockdown, we were still able to recreate. We had to have social distancing, but we're allowed to walk around, we're allowed to ride our bikes, we just weren't allowed to travel in cars. So those that live close to some of these cemeteries became fantastic open spaces for kids to ride their bikes on and parents to walk and to promenade. But just to give you an example, Waikemete, which is one of our largest cemeteries in Auckland, and you know, there's walking trails through there. People run through there. People, it's the access way to get to and from work. Simon Street in Auckland, there's also an access way. It's an old historical cemetery, how people get to and from work in Auckland. One that's up and behind our workplace, which is Bolton Cemetery, is historical cemetery. It's been there from the 1840s. I've got one of my great-great uncles buried there. And it's a place where tours, international tours are taken through. So people come off cruise ships. So they walk through it. They recreate. The thing that we sort of forget is they're getting a history tour. While they're getting the history tour, they're getting recreation. They're getting exercise because they're having to walk. And that's the key, is we sort of forget that connection to knowledge and to physical exercise. And we have a term which is called atua matua. So it's the environment that you're in. You're learning through an environment, and you're learning about the whakapapa that's around you. But you're actually also getting well-being and health by recreation, by doing. And that's what I think we sort of misunderstand around cemeteries, is they are more than what they could be. Or we sort of go, they're a cold, stark place, and that's, you know, it's a place of fear or spiritual. We also have to respect the multicultures and their aspects of how they see their cemeteries and how they use them. So we just talk about a little bit of a design that we've got going with one of our cemeteries. They're trying to develop a large cemetery, and they're looking at, do they turn this into a greenfield? What happens when they actually have this natural burial site? Do they have a rugby field beside it? Do they have a football field right beside it? Waikemete has a natural burial zone where it's turned into native bush. So people are planted under trees. The trees become native bush, becomes a native walkway, becomes bird life. The people are there located by a GIS, and they have a badge around the tree, so you know that that's what that tree belongs to. But now there's a story to Mother Earth. You know, the person is more than just in the ground. You know, the part of a tree, the part of an environment. So the way of recreation and the way that we can design our cemeteries can be very hand in hand. And sort of look back to the early Victorian cemeteries. That's the way they were designed. They were designed as a central park in the center of town where they had promenades, they had band rotundas, but it was also a cemetery. So on Sundays, people would promenade through a cemetery. There would be band playing in the band rotunda because that's what they did. That was the day, that's what they did on a Sunday. And so it's, we've seen to starting to turn back to that. We went through the early modern era of lawn cemeteries and very stark stone, very ecologically not friendly concrete and very hard on the environment. And we're now starting to turn back to this natural ecological sense of biodiversity and sustainability of a cemetery, which is, I think, a fantastic aspect. But we're also very culturally aware of what are our Muslims require? What do our Jewish contents require? What is our Māori urupata? How does that need to be situated? So we're still very respective, but we're also taking into consideration everything else that goes on.
I guess it's just a complete mental shift because, like, as you were saying during COVID, people running through cemeteries, maybe it's just me, but I was not taking any jogs through cemeteries. And I would not think to put a rugby field or a playground or a park or anything like that next to a cemetery. There's obviously some busy roads next to cemeteries, and occasionally you see cemeteries in the strangest places because the town had to evolve around it. But I think it's really interesting, kind of like the Dia de los Muertos concept of going and being with the dead, spending that time with them instead of isolating them and putting them off to the side and forgetting about them or only visiting them once or twice a year, keeping them as part of our recreation and making the environment in which we are burying them more beautiful, more part of the ecosystem, something that's going to give back. So how are cemetery designs changing?
Yeah, I think the key is, we look back to the early Victorian cemetery, which I mentioned before, and they were very much around promenades, and they're very much about the development of the city scape, and they were very part of the cityscape. And then we sort of went through a design factor, not more just before sort of the modern era, of putting our cemeteries out in the middle of nowhere, away from us. You know, they're seen as a place of death. So we sort of, you know, we're very spiritual about it and sort of pushed it as far as away as possible. And in that process, in the modern era, we then went to lawn cemeteries. You know, it went to cost efficiency and very stark and very functional purpose of what a cemetery was. And we sort of wanted us to remove ourselves from death. I think now what's happening is we're starting to celebrate death more. We're starting to realize the importance of death. And I think as the world gets more diverse and more culturally diverse, we're having to understand or respect other cultures. And every culture has a different way to deal with death. And just to give you an example, our Pacific Island culture, they like to have picnics on their family's grave or beside their family's grave. You know, because that's how they celebrate and that's how they stay connected to their family. So I think the way cemeteries are now really evolving is that, and within World Urban Parks, we've created this cemeteries group, which is connecting cemetery managers around the world. And the idea of that is to discuss how cemeteries are becoming more of a park space, a place for recreation. And, you know, how do we allow or how do we sort of engage more with people to come into these places? And especially considering a lot of our cemeteries are closing, so that they're at capacity.
So, Carl, how are cemetery designs changing?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. Look, I'll just reflect back on something that we're talking about before, which was, you know, the design of cemeteries in the early Victorian times, and they were seen as a place to promenade and recreate. And, you know, and as times changed, we went into the modern era. And within the modern area, we sort of went around cost efficiency and we made them lawn cemeteries and stark and monolithic and in the sense of mundane, and we forgot about what they were. You know, and, you know, it's interesting that you look at the 1830s. They had winding roads and picturesque vistas, and, you know, that was what was really important about, you know, they had very big entrance ways that made you feel welcome so that you knew you were arriving. I think what we're starting to see in this country, and we're starting to see it in Australia and in a few other places around the world, is that we're starting to understand cemeteries are more than just a place for death, that they are a place for ecology, they're a place for recreation. And I think it's really important that to acknowledge that we're having to change our concept around how we design or how we sort of lay the new landscape of a cemetery out, or how we adapt the existing cemetery. And, you know, we've got an example with Waikamete in Auckland. You know, it has walkways, it has running tracks where people can run through. There's thoughts of a design of a new cemetery down south, and they're looking at that if they develop the cemetery, they'll put rugby fields beside it, or to keep people connected to the recreation space. So, and I think that's really important, because what that's doing is it's showing our connection to the space other than a place of death. And I think we're starting to realize that as every community changes and the diversity of the community changes, they have different needs. And as for us as Kiwis, we like to recreate, we like to walk, and we sort of, you know, as land gets smaller or urbanization, we've got to find multi-uses for spaces. And I think death now is becoming more not of a spiritual place, of a place that we don't go to, you know, we feel very restrictive around how we feel about it, that it's becoming more of a welcoming place, that we, you know, we feel more comfortable when we go to the cemetery if it's more, you know, if there are people there, if we're recreating. We've even got we in New Zealand run a cemeteries week where we have our cemeteries market to the local community, tours, looking at the cemetery, coming in behind the scenes, events on the cemetery. Waikamete runs they have an orchestra set up and a little, you know, quartet and play music, and people can sit there and picnic. And I think that's the changing environment that I think we're starting to see around the world. And it's really important. And within World and Parks, we created a cemeteries committee to understand that more, so that we can start advising the cemeteries community on how cemeteries are becoming more of a park space. They're becoming more of a garden or an arboretum or a botanical garden or a native ecology area, or so they can have a lot more components than just a place of death. And I think that's what's really important to us as humans, that we sort of need to understand our own spiritual needs, and they're all differing, and we need to provide a place that's a cemetery that sort of fits everybody, not just this old stark grass monolithic stone place where you don't want to go.
I really like that. And I like that you have like a cemetery committee. I don't think here in America, maybe I am just not educated enough about this, but I don't think we have like a cemeteries committee within Parks and Recreation. I feel like cemeteries and cemetery owners are very separate from the Parks and Recreation system. So to our listeners, that might be something to take note of if you're trying to become very innovative, is to start partnering with the cemeteries in your community and seeing what we can do to start changing the perception of cemeteries and maybe the fear that's around it, and start using it as open space as well. I mean, continuing to respect the deceased, but finding ways to include that as part of our culture and to make it less of a fearful place, and a place that we can enjoy. So I really like New Zealand's perception of cemeteries and how they're changing it to be a little bit more inclusive and change the culture around it and make it more of a happy place to be celebrated. So I really like that. Carl, do you want to just give us three points that you want our listeners to take away?
Yeah, look, I think don't be afraid to push boundaries. If you, it's no different to a park space. If you go out there and, I mean, you don't survey your bereaved. I mean, that's a little bit silly. But if you survey your community that's around you and the people that are coming through, look, you might get an understanding more of what actually can you do with your cemetery and how can you have more user groups in there, you know, what can happen. And I'll just give you an example. Waikamete has lots of volunteer groups that do lots of things, whether they be tours, whether they be maintaining, whether it be events based. And I think that's one thing, is don't be afraid to push some of those boundaries. Be very respectful of the Indigenous cultures' values. And that's, we do have that in New Zealand. It's one of the things that's probably comes from the top down as far as our government and as far as our community is concerned, that we do respect our cultural values and respect all other cultural diversity needs and understand those well and be really well connected to them. Don't be afraid to have the conversations. But one thing I can say there is, never go with predetermined ideas. Always go with an open mind. And I think you'll be amazed that if you start with a cup of tea or start with food or you start with a conversation, you never know what you might be able to achieve in a cemetery that actually works for all. And challenge yourself. Don't be afraid. The death industry is about a celebration for life. It's not actually a celebration of the death. And that's what I think, if you look at a lot of cultures around the world, it's all around the celebration of life, and the South American culture around the celebration of life after death is one of the, was fantastic. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, even in this country, we follow a lot of different cultures and we follow a lot of different opportunities to celebrate our cemeteries.
Yeah, and I like what you said about asking our communities. I mean, I don't know that, at least in the 10 years that I've been in the field professionally, that we've ever gone to our community and said, hey, how do you feel about the cemetery in our town? We may find out that people are more open to recreational opportunities, or they want to be more connected, or they would like us to see the park district or the Parks and Rec department of a village be more involved with the cemetery that's in town. Like you said, I think a lot of cemetery involvement is volunteer led. A lot of people don't invest enough in our cemetery. So I like all of those. And just because we're talking to you on the other side of the world, I was curious, how do you feel that we raise the bar in parks and recreation from a New Zealand standpoint, or, you know, just from a different cultural standpoint?
Everyone sort of shines a light on us on how we sort of reflect our culture around Māori and how we work with them. You know, we're not perfect in any means. It's a long journey. It'll never end. We've taken the first steps, and we, you know, me personally, I mean, I've been on a learning journey around Te Reo in the Māori culture for about the last year and a bit. But that in its own sense has given me a lot wider insights to a lot more than myself. So understanding culture has given me the aspect to understand I don't always have to do it tomorrow. Sometimes just enjoy the moment, and sometimes just enjoy the environment. And I think as we go through climate change and as we go through COVID-19, there's a lot of impacts around our park space, and there's a lot of need to focus on our well-being. But I think the biggest thing that we can focus on is having people in our green space, having quality green space, and delivering healthy green space to our communities that fits their needs, that's fit for purpose. And sometimes I think what we do tend to do is, And you mentioned that in your cemeteries, you know, you've never been surveyed or you don't know of surveying, is that sometimes we're too afraid to ask others, what do they think? And I think that's probably one of the strengths that we tend to do in this country here. We have to ask our community, what do you think? It's part of our legislation around our parks and rec management.
Yeah. Definitely. We need to start asking people. We need to stop being afraid of those answers. So thank you, Carl, for being with us today. I know that this was an interesting meeting to set up. It just to give our listeners some perspective. It's Thursday at almost 2 o'clock here, and it is Friday at almost 7 a.m. in New Zealand. So thank you so much, Carl, for joining us today. And we hope to have you back again.
Oh, look, I mean, happy to zoom in and have a chat to everybody. It's, you know, really enjoyable. I mean, we do this a lot through World Urban Parks, connecting people around the world. And I think the environment that we're in now is, look, you know, let's make the most out of this online technology and let's be connected. And to any of the listeners, hey, I'm sure my contact details will be there. Happy for you to get in contact with us. We're always happy to talk and share. I think that's one of the best things about our industry and cemeteries community. We all care about each other, and no matter where you are in the world.
Awesome. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.